You tuned in to the Kojo Namdi show on WAMU 88.5. Welcome. Later in the broadcast, besides cheap beer and the game, what do sports bars offer their D.C. area patrons? But first, when Maryland Governor Larry Hogan last year proposed to ease traffic by widening the Beltway and I-270, many in Montgomery County feared the worst: more traffic, more pollution, and the razing of homes along those corridors. Though the details of Hogan's plan have not yet been released, some in Montgomery County say it's time to make sure the county protects itself from road widening it may not want. Joining us to discuss how the county is responding to Hogan's transportation vision is Alfred Carr. He is a Democratic member of the Maryland House of Delegates representing parts of Montgomery County. Al Carr, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And joining us by phone is Hans Riemer. He is a Democrat at large on the Montgomery County Council. Hans Riemer, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kojo.
Al, note to the governor, no beltway widening. That's what newly elected Montgomery County Executive Mark Elrich said in his inaugural speech earlier this month. But you have gone a step farther and filed a bill on the subject. What does your bill say?
Sure. Well, Kojo, it's a very simple bill. It just says that before the state can build a new toll road in Montgomery County, that they would need consent of Montgomery County.
Why did you specify in your bill that Montgomery County should have veto power over the addition of toll lanes as opposed to lanes in general? Would you still reject widening if the state paid for it as opposed to allowing a private contractor to widen the roads and collect tolls?
Well, sure. The bill is a response to constituent concerns that have been expressed. This project is proposed to add four toll lanes to the Beltway in Maryland, and this has already been done in Virginia. But unlike in Virginia, we don't have a lot of room in Montgomery County, Maryland, neighborhoods like Kensington, Chevy Chase, Silver Spring, Montgomery Hills, Forest Glen, Four Corners, to widen the Beltway. So people are very concerned about eminent domain, losing their homes. There's parkland, schools, and also a hospital. And this bill, this project has not exactly been rolled out in a collaborative fashion. So it reminds me a little bit of the bad old days of transportation planning that I've heard about in the 1950s and 1960s. Some of these big road projects were decided behind closed doors in secret and simply announced without a lot of interest in public input or buy-in or looking at alternatives.
So it's fair to say that you are opposed to widening, period, unless Montgomery County is consulted.
Well, sure. I think there should be a collaborative process. We should have, to me, it's common sense that the county and the state should be working together. And I think a bill like this strengthens the county's hand if the county wants to influence what that's going to look like or include more of a transit component to the final product. I think this bill will do that. And the bill is based on a precedent. There's already in the law on the eastern shore of Maryland, those communities, their consent is required before any toll roads or bay crossings are built.
But don't the assurances of the Hogan administration assure you that no one's home will be taken by eminent domain for this project?
Well, the story has changed a number of times about whether they'll stay within the right of way or whether any homes will be taken or not be taken. So I think we need to have some assurances of having local input and a local say into how this project continues.
I'd like to note that we invited Governor Hogan or one of his representatives to join the show to talk about his transportation plan, but we have not heard back from them. But we can sum it up by saying that Hogan proposed a $9 billion public-private partnership to widen I-495 and I-270 through the addition of toll lanes. On to Hans Riemer. Hans, we don't have the details of the governor's proposal, but do you think we need Alfred Carr's bill?
Well, I think we need input into the plan. You know, that's the underlying problem, is that it has not yet been a collaborative process. We haven't received a lot of information about what is the governor's going to propose. It's been very, very big picture and very general. And, you know, it's been at that level for quite a long time, and we need to be at the table working through the alternatives with the governor's team and with Frederick and Prince George's County as well. So from a big picture, I really agree we need input, and this bill, I think, forces the conversation about having the counties at the table, and we'll, of course, our state delegates, our senators will be part of the process in Annapolis, and they'll have to vote on whatever happens. So, you know, they'll have a voice in this process as well, but certainly your local counties know the county the best. So we do want to have a voice. We have a lot of concerns. This, you know, the American Legion Bridge.
So you mentioned big picture. Allow me to go back to small picture.
Sure.
How do you feel specifically about the bill?
Well, I would amend the bill. I think that, you know, it's a little hard to expect one county to have a veto over a project of regional.
But it's patterned after a bill that the Eastern Shore politicians pushed through the legislature 40 years ago. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is on the Eastern Shore, first of all, it's a majority of nine counties. If a majority of nine counties agrees, then then it's allowed to proceed. So in our case, an analogy would be if any county that the project goes through, a majority of those counties agree.
Got you.
And I think that would make it analogous.
Alcar, what incentive did the legislator have to approve a bill that gives a particular privilege to just one county, Montgomery County?
Sure. So I imagine that other counties might be interested in joining in. I could understand if Prince George's would say, hey, we want to be added to that bill. We want to be able to have our consent and our involvement in this process as well. And I certainly would not object to that. But I think with the precedent over in the Eastern Shore, that I think this makes a lot of sense.
That's what Gary in Hyattsville seems to feel. Gary, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
This is Gary Hodge. I'm with the coalition that's promoting transit in Maryland. And actually, this bill should be a statewide bill that covers all the 14 counties and the city of Baltimore that are not covered by the statute that was enacted 40 years ago that covers the nine Eastern Shore counties. And to correct a minor misunderstanding here, because we have a advisory opinion from the Attorney General's Office of Maryland, that it's a majority of the affected counties that would be able to weigh in, and the state would be required to secure the express consent of a majority of the affected counties.
Well, I guess, Alcar, what you're doing here is trying to get the conversation going, so to speak. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah. Legislation at the state level is often a conversation starter, and I expect there'll be additional pieces of legislation that are sparked by the same project, and as we try to figure out how the public-private partnership process in Maryland is working out.
Hans Riemann, I'll have Kevin in Bethesda put his question to you. Kevin, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Hans. I think that one of the things that hasn't happened in this process is for us to look at more effectively at alternatives using today's technology rather than thinking a century ago kind of model. If you have more cars, you build more roads. You widen roads, you keep widening them, and you have more cars, and then you don't have using modern technology to enable us to move traffic more smoothly to...
Well, let me put this question to Hans Riemer on your behalf, Kevin. Hans Riemer, what do you see as the alternatives to widening the beltway?
And I think that Kevin has a good point. What I have been advocating for is that a transit system must be rolled into this project. And the governor's team has been resisting that so far, but I hope that we can get to a resolution there, because I think this project is far too big to be a highway-only project. I think that they need to stay within the existing right-of-way. You know, I think there's some confusion when we talk about widening. Are we saying fit it within the existing right-of-way or expand beyond the existing right-of-way? If they can stay within the existing right-of-way, then there would not need to be homes taken and so forth. And the governor's team has provided assurances about that, but I don't think people are really confident that that's going to be the case. And I think that gets to the need for input. I think when you look over the very long term, as the caller alluded to, you're going to have driverless vehicles. You're going to have vehicles in platoons that are, you know, using software to speak with one another. They're going to be hopefully powered as plug-in electric vehicles from a clean.
Afraid I have to interrupt you because time is of the essence here. This is our winter member, our year-end membership campaign time, so we have to get to that very quickly. So I wanted to get back to Al Carr. What are the next steps for your bill?
So the next step is we'll have a public hearing for this bill in Rockville before the Montgomery County House delegation, and then we'll be talking more about it in Annapolis.
If your bill fails to pass, what else can be done to assure that Montgomery County's officials will still exert some influence over Governor Hogan's Beltway and I-270 plans?
Sure. I think we'll be looking at other approaches, statewide approaches like the one gentleman mentioned, and really taking a really close look at our existing law on P3s or public-private partnerships, which seems to be written right now to exclude the legislature's participation.
We got an email from Carolyn who says, I live in Silver Spring and oppose Beltway widening for many reasons. This project will take homes, could do damage to our beloved Sligo Creek, and will encourage more car commuting in a time when we should be advancing environmentally friendly commuter options like mass transit. And I can say, Caroline, that most of the calls we have that I won't be able to get to in this segment seem to be sharing that sentiment. But as I said, we're just about out of time. Alfred Carr is a Democratic member of the Maryland House of Delegates representing parts of Montgomery County. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Hans Riemer is a Democrat at large on the Montgomery County Council. Hans Riemer, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
This is our year-end membership campaign here at WAMU, so we're going to take some time to tell you about that, and hopefully you'll become a member or renew your membership. When we come back, we'll be talking about, well, besides cheap beer and the game, what do sports bars offer their D.C. area patrons? I'm Kojo Namdi.
Thanks for listening to The Kojo Namdi Show. And if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.